We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hey, welcome back to hour number two, Sports Daily with Shane and Bruce. Chad back in the studio. We had a lot of first hour baseball talk. The St. Louis Cardinals eagerly and anxiously awaiting the result of more tests from COVID today that led to their postponements of games over the weekend. Royals have had better weekends. They pretty much got bludgeoned by the White Sox. We talked about that in the second segment. If you want to re-listen to anything that you may have missed in the first part of the show, use the rewind button on your radio.com app, or if you're streaming the show, Jad will have the podcast up in really short order. But right now we go to the hotline and we join friend of the show from CBSSports.com. He is back with us and we say good morning, Jerry Palm. Jerry, how are you hanging in there during the pandemic?
Yeah, well, I'm making do. It's, you know, obviously a crazy situation for everybody. And some of us are much more adversely affected than others, but I'm managing to do okay so far.
Good. First, I want to ask you a general question about college football, and then we can get into the particulars of the Pac-12 athletes and things like that. But if we play a uninterrupted college football season, I saw you on CBSSports.com, had an interesting comment, if you just revisit that, if you don't mind. How tough it might be for the CFP, since there's no non-conference games to compare teams with, and I think if I'm reading you right, it'll be strictly an eyeball test if and when we get there, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly right, because you now have three conferences that have, you know, self-quarantined in the current vernacular. You know, the Pac-12, the Big Ten, and the SEC are all going to play only amongst each other, which means that there isn't any ranking system, any statistical analysis, anything you can do with those teams that makes a valid comparison to anyone outside their respective leagues. So when you don't have any data to work with, all you have is the eye test. And so for the selection committee, you know, it becomes interesting if you say you've got four undefeated conference champions, but the SEC isn't one of them. You know, you've got a one-loss SEC champion, but the other four leagues are all able to produce undefeated champions. If the ACC is able to play a non-conference game for everybody, they'll be interconnected with the, you know, the group of five at least, and then possibly the Big 12 as well. But, you know, there's no way to compare a one-loss SEC champion to undefeated teams in other conferences because they didn't play anyone outside their league. There's no statistical way to do it.
Yeah.
So I think that becomes, you know, the most interesting problem. Are you going to leave out an undefeated major conference champion for a one-loss SEC team? That would be the biggest problem that they could have, is that type of situation.
How intrigued are you by the Notre Dame situation with the ACC right now? And how much of a – obviously, it's a pretty interesting storyline – how much influence can Notre Dame now have in this whole thing being attached to the ACC?
Well, I mean, they needed to do something. Otherwise, you know, their schedule was going to be shot. You know, with all of these conferences backing out, they would have had, you know, their five, and they actually had six ACC games scheduled in advance, so they still would have had that half of their schedule. But I think only, you know, Navy and Western Michigan would have been the other teams left at this point. So, you know, they had to, I mean, they couldn't really play just an eight-game schedule. And so the ACC, you know, the Notre Dame is a member of the ACC in several other sports. So, you know, it was pretty easy for them to come together on a scheduling arrangement so that Notre Dame is able to play as full a schedule as they can. They can actually compete for a conference championship for the first time ever if they, you know, qualify. And of course, it cost them some of their TV money, but, you know, it took a pandemic to get Notre Dame to join a conference even temporarily.
Talking to Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com, talking college football. What did you make of the group of Pac-12 football players writing a letter to the conference basically saying they're going to opt out of fall camp and game participation unless some demands are going to be met? Do you think this letter has any legs?
Well, we'll see how the league responds to it. I mean, there's parts of it that are non-starters. There's no way they're splitting 50% of the revenue. They're not going to get salary reductions. I mean, that's just not going to happen. There's contract involved, and that's just not going to happen. But some of the other stuff has got a chance. I think some of it might already exist. Like, I think one of the things they asked about was being able to opt out without it costing them their scholarship or their eligibility. I believe the league has already got that in place. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how much the league tries to negotiate with this group, which, you know, I don't know that, you know, this, in a sense, it's kind of like a union, but it's not, you know, because how many people do they represent? Is it really 400? How are all 400 bought into the cause? You know, it's it'll be interesting to see which direction this goes. I think some of the things that they're asking for are relatively easy and cheap to provide. And I think certainly the medical concerns absolutely have to be addressed. Whatever medical concerns they have, those definitely need to be addressed. But how far some of this other stuff goes remains to be seen, and how committed they are to all 400 people walking out if they don't get all of these demands met. You know, that will also remain to be seen. I kind of doubt that you'll see 400 people walk out.
It was only about 5 years ago or so, Jerry, when Kane Coulter and Northwestern had the idea of attempting to unionize. In this weird climate, what are the chances that in the near future that we can revisit something like that when the student athletes can unionize? Impossible or no?
Well, you can always try again, I suppose, but you're going to have to approach it differently because you've already had a court shoot you down. So, you know, if you just go back with the same arguments and, you know, hope that a different judge sees it your way, that would probably seem unlikely. Yeah. Although I'm not a labor law expert by any stretch of the imagination, but the players are discovering that they have a voice, and you know, I think it's good that they have a voice and that they're learning how to use it. And I think you're going to see the players have more of an impact, but whether or not they ever formally are allowed to unionize remains to be seen.
The term opt-outs has become almost cliched now in the world of COVID. How prevalent is that going to be at the top end of the talent pool in college football, especially with so many questions about how or even if this season is going to come off, the long-term ramifications of perhaps being infected with a disease that we still don't know a whole hell of a lot about? So the Trevor Lawrences and the top rungs of guys that you know are going to have big-time NFL money coming their way, how much is that going to be an issue before it's all said and done, the opt-outs in college football?
Well, I expect we're going to see some, for sure. And I would not at all be surprised if we saw some big-name players. But you talk about, you know, how or if the season is played, but it's not just those two questions, but also when. You know, if we're playing in the fall, some of these guys are probably going to be more likely to play. If for some reason the season gets put off until the spring, which everybody involved in college football considers a last resort, you know, now the draft is right there. You know, you're playing, you know, the draft is usually the end of April, isn't it, for the NFL?
Sure. Yep. Yes.
So, you know, your season could still be going on at that time. Well, you know, guys that have a future in the NFL, especially ones that are, you know, very likely to get picked, they'd be foolish to play in the spring. So you could see a lot more people opt out in the spring that are NFL draft eligible than maybe you would see in the fall necessarily.
Talking to Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com, and a Purdue guy. If Big Ten plays their season, what kind of season's Purdue got ahead of it?
Well, part of that depends. I mean, you know, we they haven't determined who the 10th opponent, if there is going to be a 10th opponent. Right now, Purdue's got, and everybody in the Big Ten, has got nine-game schedules. The assumption is that they'll do, you know, what the Pac-12 did and add a 10th game so that everybody can have five home and road and still have some flexibility to play a schedule. So for Purdue, it depends a lot on who that 10th team is. Purdue's still one of the youngest teams in the Big Ten. Their skill position players, especially a wide receiver, are incredibly talented. Their wide receivers stack up with almost anybody in the country, especially with Rondell Moore back. But they're going to have to find a way to block, and they're going to have to find a way to tackle. And if they can do that, they're going to be able to score enough points to hang with anybody. But a 500 or better season, you know, would be considered a step forward for Purdue. But just staying healthy, because last year their injuries were ridiculous.
College football's in the here and the now, of course. Jerry Palm, our CBS bracketologist. What about college hoops? When do we start having that conversation about things starting in October? That seems to be right in the crosshairs of what we know or suspect or are concerned about as it relates to COVID. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, they have a two-month later window to work with than college football, so they have a lot more time to observe and educate themselves about what's working in other sports, as you know, the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball are going forward. The NFL is expected to go forward. And, of course, there'll be college football, which will be a much better parallel for them than anything else. So, you know, there's a lot of time, and frankly, we're 3 months away from October. So much can happen in that period of time. We're going to find a vaccine by then. Who knows? I mean,
sure.
It's really – this stuff develops, this, I don't say story, but this situation, you know, the information that scientists have, and the more they study, the more we learn, and of course, how the disease is spreading throughout the country in different places, it's so fluid that, you know, 3 months out, who knows? We don't know if college football is going to happen, and that's 1 month away, you know?
Sure.
It's, you know, college basketball has the luxury of a little bit more time than college football, and the luxury of being able to learn from what's been going on in these other places.
Jerry Palm joining us, CBSSports.com. If you had to be a commissioner of one of the four major sports in pandemic COVID-19 2020, who would you rather be? In other words, who's got the lesser of all the evils, in your opinion, as far as a commissioner is concerned?
I would say the NBA or the NHL, because they've been able to create these bubbles where, you know, their community is all in one spot, being tested all the time, has a much better chance and is having much better results at containing the virus and getting their games in. So, you know, but Major League Baseball is having a problem, and their commissioner has got a lot of problems. beyond this, but you know, so Major League Baseball, because they're not in that kind of a situation, and the NFL is not going to be either. College football has been pushing the start of their season forward a few weeks, all of the conferences that have made those announcements, and one of the things that, other than, you know, they're playing fewer games and they have some flexibility, but another thing that gives them the chance to see what's going on in the NFL for a couple of weeks before they actually take the field, because that'll be a very similar situation to them, other than having, you know, students on a campus. They have an opportunity to learn from the NFL. But I definitely would rather be the commissioner of a sport that's got a well-contained bubble for their athletes right now.
Which, Jerry, leads me to my next question. You know, earlier on we had the bombast that, well, if there aren't students on campus, there's not going to be any college football or college sports. Now we seem to have gotten to the point where it would be actually better for there not to be students on campus because of the whole quasi-bubble effect that you can have in controlling your athletes. To some degree. So how realistic of a proposition do you think that really is, and where do you fall on that? Is it likely to have sports if you don't have students on campus? I mean, hell, we're right around the corner from that.
Yeah, I've got a student supposed to go back to campus and now what's going to be 3 weeks because Purdue pushed their calendar forward. I think It's an interesting ethical question, because what you're saying is our campus is not safe for our student population right. to be there, but it's safe for the athletes to be there. And yet, because the athletes might be the only people there, it may actually indeed be safer for them to be there if you can properly contain them. And we're talking about, you know, 18 to 22-year-old kids, young adults, you know, and who don't always make the best decisions, right? So, you know, and I'm not talking about, you know, criminal decisions or, you know, or anything like that. Just, you know, you're learning how to make decisions for yourself as an adult at that age, and you don't always make good ones. So it's an interesting situation. I don't know that I have the correct answer. I just tend to think that the athletes are safer if the rest of the students aren't there. But, you know, college presidents are not making decisions based on that.
Right. We'll keep kicking this can down the road. Obviously, Jerry, when you're not doing bracketology, you're talking bowls. And that's a long ways away. But how do you see the bowl thing playing out during the pandemic? Obviously, no fans, assuming that no fans go to a bowl game. How are we looking on that?
You know, and that's another funny thing. You know, fans going to games. I mean, you've got schools like Ohio State talking about, you know, maybe getting 20% of their stadium filled and things like that. And you've got other places where you're thinking there's no way we're ever playing in front of fans. I saw the other day where somebody at LSU said that they could envision as many as 75,000 people in their stadium at some point this season. That just sounds crazy. So the fan, I mean, I don't know about bowls. I mean, they depend a lot on ticket sales, so if they can't play in front of fans. But, again, that's December. You know, if you can play conference championship games in December in front of some kind of an audience, you're probably going to be able to play bowl games in front of some kind of an audience, and some of the bowls don't attract huge crowds anyway. But, it's an interesting question. I think at the very least, if they can play a football season, they're going to play a playoff. What happens to the other bowls? Obviously, I don't think a December 19th championship game affects the bowls that get played the following week, because that's where you see a lot of the teams that are not in championship games. But, we've already had one bowl canceled. Semi-COVID related, the Red Box Bowl was canceled because they had lost their home before COVID hit and not been able to find a new one since then. So that game won't be played already. But, yeah, you might see some other games canceled before the season even gets going. But with December being so far off, you know, a lot of these things, are, especially bowl games, you don't need to know until a month in advance that you're not going to play a bowl game.
Yep. Jerry, thanks so much for your time. Stay safe out there. Appreciate you joining us.
Thanks. You too.
You bet. All right. Thanks, Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com bracketologist, bowl prognosticator, and a man of many hats nowadays. But interesting perspective on a lot of different things. We appreciate Jerry's time, as always. The CFP, I saw him on that was the reason for my first question. CFP, it's funny how – if somebody is a team, I mean, is vying for the Final Four in the CFP, we are instructed to ignore the eye test. Don't use the eye test. That's not what, you know, we have analytics for that. Well, no non-conference games, conference games only. We don't have anything to really compare Team A to Team B to. And so it might come down to this team looks better than team number five on the list, so they're going to make it to the CFP. And that's obviously a long ways down the road if we even have a college football playoff. But if so, how they're determined to make the Final Four, if there is one, will be interesting interesting strategy in how to select those teams and how they make it. So just like anything else, any other sport, it's going to be a little weird. It's going to be take some getting used to. And
well, and it's going to still be day-to-day. I mean, let's face it,
fluid.
That's kind of where we are right now. I mean, right?
Yep.
It's day-to-day. But I think the NHL is in good shape. I tend to agree with him on that. I think the fact that they're in Canada, in two bubbles in Canada, where they have done a much better job than we have collectively with the coronavirus – and And then even down in Florida at the NBA, where the bubble, knocking on wood, appears to be having the desired effect. And we'll get into some of that here in a minute, how it looks, what it looks like, what the presentation looks like, who's playing well, etc. But I would say that those are the two that are ahead, and I don't think it's any surprise that they're the ones that have the bubbles in play. So,
however,
I don't know.
Nearly impossible to have the two bigger sports be in a bubble.
Exactly.
As
yeah.
we've
too rangy.
Yeah.
Too
and
rangy.
So it's,
yeah,
so it's through no real fault of anybody football or baseball. That
Yeah, it's not through negligence. It's
right.
just through circumstance and,
yeah.
and
logistics.
And the reality. Right?
Yeah.
No question.
All right. A mishmash of things that we probably should get to. NBC World Series starts today. Tell you where and what time. NBA, of course. Good news, bad news. Got to get to that in the next
yes.
segment, too. And how tough it is to call a game on radio by watching TV. Chicago Cubs radio voice Pat Hughes has weighed in on the difficulty of doing that. So plenty of stuff still to get to in the next segment. Shane and Bruce and Chad on a Monday Sports Daily on KFH.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.